My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here. Thank you for joining us in person. Thank you for joining us online as well. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. It's my honor today to bring God's word this morning. Now, we're in a new monthly series, and it's titled Honors Reward. Hey, before I get into that, I'm wearing some church merch. Okay? Wow. You just wooing today, man. It's awesome. Some church merch. Woo! No? Okay. You had your opportunity. No, it's good. I think you're done. All right. Praise God. He got it all out. Save it for the parking lot. Amen. Woo! I'm behind you. Don't hit me. So, church merch. It's our last day to get church merch on. You hopefully got a little flyer as you walked in today. You have until 11:59 p.m. You don't have to buy anything if you don't want to. But there's lots of stuff. And it's cold, man. It's sweater weather. So, you can get out there. Yeah. Okay. Some of y'all. Thank you. First service was terrible. There's like one person. Anyway, sweater weather. So, but it's that time. It's that time again. We don't actually mark anything up. It comes directly from the vendor. So if you would like to go out online, if you need help, ask somebody who's more savvy than you. Just be careful with your credit card with that person because you need to trust them. But you can get online and there's all kinds of sweaters and t-shirts and long sleeve shirts and hoodies and hats and all kinds of things. We do this about two times a year or so, and there's some new stuff out there. So I'm wearing some stuff today for our church merch. And this is a really nice sweater. It's the first time I've worn it, and hopefully it looks this good after I wash it and put it in. I probably won't put it in the dryer because then it shrinks. And that's what I blame everything on, not Pizza Ranch. It's the dryer. Amen. Right? Anybody with me? You're in denial. It's Pizza Ranch. It's Pizza Ranch. It should be called Chicken Ranch anyway. Pizza's mediocre. The chicken is, boom, chicken's going to be in heaven, man. Okay. All right. We're on this new, you know it. Okay. Be set free today if you don't agree. Our new monthly series is titled Honors Reward, and we're in our third week. And we've been focusing on releasing God's kingdom through the power of honor. Unfortunately, honor is a forgotten virtue in today's culture. But biblically, it's a key that unlocks God's blessings, his favor, and his presence in our lives. In this series, we can explore, and we are exploring, what honor looks like in Scripture, why it matters to God, and how embracing honor in everyday life positions us to walk in greater freedom, to walk in authority, and to walk with blessings. Romans 12:10 says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Now, if you want to follow along with the notes today, feel free to do that. There's a free app there called YouVersion. You can get on there. Some of you have an update. Some of you don't. So I only know the old school way because I haven't got the update yet, but I'm going to tell you both ways because some people were having troubles this morning. Get on YouVersion, bottom right-hand corner. Looks like pancakes. Click on it. It's more. You click on that. Then you go to events, and then you go to First Open Bible Church and press save. Or what you do is you go down and you click discover. Then you find churches, and you'll find our church. And then you can go to, you'll see the events, and then you can click save that way. If you don't get it, that's okay. The best way to get over some troubles on your phone is just to dip it in water, okay? Yep, just. Actually, if you want to practice baptizing, we believe in full submersion, in submersed, fully submersed. So just in the, you know, just hold it there until it's holy, okay? Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, you remember old school, man? Anytime you got it wet, you're like, you have to have a bag of rice somewhere and you got to put it in the rice and just pray to Jesus. You still have your contacts and things will work. Now they make them like waterproof because they realized that we are very slippery handed. And just whoop goes in the. Anybody ever lost their phone in the toilet? Don't raise your hand. That's disgusting. Yes? Listen, if they raise their hand, you never borrow their phone. Never. If you are, you just say, hey, can you put that on speakerphone? It's nasty. Amen. Okay. Oh, good times. You know, it's okay to laugh. Laughter is a medicine to the soul. Right? Sometimes it's fun just to laugh at yourself or laugh at funny things. But we have to be careful what we laugh at. But it is good to laugh. It brings something, right? Brings joy. I think Jesus was funny. I think he was, he wasn't boring and sour like some people that sit at church, right? He was funny. He was serious when he'd be serious, but I think he had, because he has the joy of the Lord. He's got to be funny, right? And you know he was probably making fun of Peter, because Peter is easily to be made fun of. Because there's so many, he gives so many opportunities. Amen. He's probably like, okay, look at this. Look at this guy. But he loved Peter. Anyway, so before we get into the third sermon of Honor's Reward, I want to give notice to a great ministry that we have here at First Open Bible. It's called Stephen Ministry. This morning, we're going to recognize three Stephen ministers who have completed their long training. Week by week, they have been grinding and training and practicing. And I believe that the heart of a disciple of Christ should have the love and care for others that Jesus has. Believe that. Can you believe that? That Christians should act like Christ, not the world. Wow, what an epiphany. That's free. You can go home now. Okay. God is the one who forgives us of our sins, but he also instructs us in his word to confess and connect. And we do that with one another so we can be healed. James 5:16 is a great example of this in the word. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person, right? We're not righteous, but we're righteous through Christ. So if you know Christ, he makes you righteous. So the earnest prayer, be careful who you let pray for you. Earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Sometimes in life, we just need somebody to care for us the way that Jesus does. Right? Sometimes we just need somebody to hug us and say nothing. Sometimes we act in a fool, and then you got to get in our face and say, knock it off. You're out of line, because that's what Jesus would do. But today, what we're celebrating before we get into the word is true human concern and genuine love. Now, this is a joyous occasion here at First Home Bible. Today, we celebrate the commissioning of our newest Stephen ministers. Through them, our congregation and our community will discover a new level of caregiving, a higher level of compassionate discipleship and love. It's through their guidance of the Stephen leaders that these Stephen ministers will bring compassion, support, and prayer to people who are in pain, facing grief, or other life events that they're going through. Now, these three believers from our congregation are being commissioned into a special ministry, and it is known as Stephen Ministry. If you want to know why it's named that, you can ask Miss Carolyn, because I completely forget. Amen. I can't know it all, right? Some people come up to me and ask me all these questions. I don't know everything, okay? I have no idea. I'm still figuring it out, man. Yeah, but this caring ministry is led by two powerful and anointed and wonderful women of God. Miss Carolyn Wagner, she is our Stephen Ministry leader, and then we have a co-leader in Miss Pam Slayton. Now, our new Stephen ministers have studied and they've practiced in skills such as dealing with feelings, crisis intervention, asserting oneself with gentleness and firmness, and numerous other topics to help people walk through life. After today's commissioning service, these Stephen ministers will be assigned to minister into our congregation and even into our community. They'll be working with people who are experiencing life events such as, these are just some examples, hospitalization, retirement, financial setbacks, loss of a loved one, divorce, or any other number of other difficulties people are facing in daily living. Lots of major life changes. Miss Carolyn, Miss Pam, will you please come up and join me? We're going to hand out some certificates of completion. And Miss Carolyn, when she calls your name, please come up and join us. And then I will join you down here in just a moment. Here you go.
Of these Stephen ministers will receive a certificate. It says their name and then has completed Stephen Minister training at First Open Bible, in recognition of which this certificate is awarded on this 19th day of October 2025. The first one I'm asking to come up is Sherry Alderman. Next is Steve Alderman. And last but not least, Deborah Bonneman.
Amen. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:6, it says this, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through laying on of hands." So here's what we're going to do. We're going to stir up and commission their calling with our prayers, and we're going to lay hands on them as well in prayer. So church, will you extend your hands? Miss Carolyn's going to pray here in a moment. Guys, if you get in a circle so I can lay hands on you, that'd be awesome. Come on over. You know what's so weird about having two services? If we give them something, then we take it away, and then we give it to them. It's like, okay, you can keep it now. So guess what? You get to keep it. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray.
If anybody stole the candy out of their bag after first service, someone else got gypped.
Don't look at me.
Okay, well, Father God, I just thank you that you have brought this amazing ministry to this church. And that you have brought these people into this ministry. You have called them by name. And you have gifted them with amazing gifts that will be used mightily in your name, Lord, to walk side by side with the hurting, with the overwhelmed, with people who just need someone. So, Lord, I just ask that you would anoint them with your Holy Spirit, that as they go forth into this ministry, they will carry your presence into every caring relationship, into every time they meet with their care receivers. And Lord, we just commission them and we release them into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And congratulations, everyone. Give them a hand. Hallelujah. Now, when they meet with people, it can be once a month, it can be once a week, it can be a couple times a week. It just depends on the availability and the need for what that person is walking through. But if you know someone, or maybe you are that someone that could benefit from this ministry, I want you to talk to our Stephen Lynn, leaders, Miss Carolyn and Miss Pam. You can talk to them today, not during service, but after service. You can talk to them at another time, maybe call the church office, and they can maybe give you a call. But it's a great opportunity to walk through life. Sometimes we just need someone, don't we? We just need somebody. And what's awesome is they're trained to specifically help people walk through whatever they're going through. And we all go through things. I've said this before, but life hurts and God heals. And sometimes God chooses to heal us through relationships with one another. Right? Not codependency and stuff like that. That's of the world, you know. But we walk together, love each other. The Bible tells us, bear one another's burdens. Pray for one another. Lift each other up. Iron sharpens iron. We have to come together sometimes. And this is a powerful ministry that we have here at our church. And so it's pretty amazing. Those three, they walked through it. They believed in it. And they've been training for it. So let's get into the word. What would you think about this? What if I said this? The culture of honor is a key to revival. The culture of honor is a key to revival. See, honor is a word sadly we do not hear very often anymore. Sadly, we don't experience honor very often anymore either. The Bible gives us many references and commands about honor. Now, this kind of honor found in Scripture is radically different than the kind of honor that the world celebrates. Biblical honor is more than just a concept. It is beyond mere outward actions. Biblical honor starts with a mindset of valuing others, and then it extends to acts of obedience, forgiveness, sacrificial love, and strong devotion. I love what Bill Johnson said about honor. He said this, quote, "Honor is not a reflection of other people's character. It's a reflection of yours." Say that again. Honor is not a reflection of other people's character. It's a reflection of yours. That's a powerful statement. Now, I believe today God is calling us to put honor into practice because God delights to do his will through honorable behavior from honorable people. Honor adds value. The Greek word for honor means to add value. And as you can imagine, the word dishonor means the opposite, to take away value. When you honor someone, you're adding value to them. And when you dishonor someone, you are subtracting value from them. Today, God is calling us to do a dishonor detox. Anybody done a detox lately? Yeah? No? Some of y'all maybe to do it. I was just telling some people earlier that in Canada and in places all around the world, the medical, the whole thing of what they do is once a year they allow you to do a detox. They actually require you to do a detox. But in America, we could care less about detox. It's like the more packaged goodies we have, the more that we think that we're happy, but we are so sick because we don't do detoxes. And our body is sick because we don't detox. But you know what? Our spirit can get sick as well if we don't detox. You're more than just your body and your mind. You have a spirit and a soul. So today we're going to do a dishonor detox. We're going to allow the spirit of honor to rise up again in us. Romans 12:10 says, "Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other." Notice it says take delight. Honor should be joyful. It should give us satisfaction. But for some reason, honor feels uncomfortable, especially if you didn't grow up in it. I was blessed that my father was in the military and he taught me honor, not only honor for America and the flag, but also for first responders and people that serve us. I always honored them. I've learned that as a very young age, even to the point where I said, "Yes, sir, yes, ma'am." Don't say, see, this is a great example. Don't call me sir, it makes me feel old. Sorry, sir. It's about respecting you. It has nothing to make you feel uncomfortable. It's about me honoring you as a person. Especially when you're younger, talking to an older person, you should respect and honor them. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Right? That is an honor position. But I even wrote it right here. Honor should be delightful. It should be joyful. It should bring us satisfaction. But for so many, honor feels uncomfortable. Why is that? Because most people are more familiar with dishonor than they are with honor. We often deflect praise. Oh, no, no. Minimize affirmation, and we dodge encouragement because that seems to be more comfortable than receiving honorable words from other people. But yet the Bible says this in 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people. Love the brotherhood. That's us, believers. Fear God and honor the King. You know what honor does? It recognizes God's image. Everyone deserves honor. Everyone. Why? Because everyone bears the image of God. They might be acting a fool. They may be acting like the devil, but they have the image of God. Now, we honor all people not because they've earned it, but because God has created them. To honor someone doesn't mean you endorse their sin. It doesn't mean that you agree with their choices in life either. What honor it does not mean approval. It means recognition. Now, we live in a society and a time that teaches, if I disagree with you, I must dishonor you. If you disagree with me, I'm going to cancel you out of my life. If I don't like what you said or what you stand for, I don't want a part of you. I want nothing. Right? Sometimes on social media, things happen and we don't like it. Instead of praying for that person and scrolling on, we either say something hateful or we delete them. How about you have a conversation like Jesus said you should have a conversation? Honor that person by giving them the respect that maybe you don't fully understand what they're walking through or their mindset. How will anybody know about Christ if we don't sit down and have some conversations? We just cancel people. Well, you don't agree with me. You know, we get canceled too. I get canceled. I talk too much about Jesus. I don't care. I mean, if I'm going to go from this life and I'd be known that I talk too much about Jesus, praise God. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Oh, you don't put up with my stuff. No, I tell you the truth. I love you, but I'm never going to hide the truth from you. But I'm also not going to sit there and judge you. You know, the Bible says that we can't judge other people, but we can judge some people. Who is that? We can judge our other believers. Why would you want to judge the world when God is going to judge the world? Who made you king? Who made you the King of Kings? Who made you God? Right? You can stand up against those things, but you shouldn't be judging them. God's going to judge them. Tell them the truth. Love them. Honor them. And have a conversation with them. Tell them the truth. Give them God's love. Quit canceling them, judging them, and then walking away. You know who does that the best? The Pharisees. Woo! Praise God. I'm going to break some religious demons' teeth today. Amen. For real, though. You know, you can stand for truth and still show honor. There is reference after reference after reference in the Old Testament of how God's people who were under the authority of evil, come on now, they were under the authority of evil, a humanistic mindset, a humanistic system, and they honored the people of authority until it disrespected or went against God's word, and then they wouldn't bow to things. But they gave the honor until it was no longer honoring God. But we don't even honor people of authority or even the things that go on in our life at all because it completely disagrees with our personalities, our thoughts, our opinions. It's not even biblical things, our opinions. That we just disrespect everybody. It's like, you don't believe what I believe, I'm out of here, right? Look in the Old Testament over and over and over again. There is honor after honor after honor, but they also stood up for the truth. Now, if you're pushing truth down to give people honor, what you've done is you've made that person an idol and God nothing. You make God above all things, but you honor people. I hope that's making sense. Makes sense in my mind, but it doesn't always come out exactly the way I want to say it. You can love righteousness without rejecting people. I love the Constitution of the United States of America. I was raised to respect it and follow it. But I'm accountable. We're accountable to a higher constitution. It's the Word of God. And the Word of God gives us no excuse for dishonor. God doesn't give you a pass. We must stand for truth and live with honor. I just thought about this. Think of Joseph. In Genesis, he honored his way up to the second in command. Pharaoh was a a heathen. He was awful. He worshiped terrible things. He sacrificed children. He killed babies. He did all kinds. He worshiped himself. He considered himself a god. And what did Joseph do? He honored his wife to his right hand and taught him everything about Yahweh. But he never went against Yahweh on his way up. And it got him in some hard places, but it also ultimately got him in the highest place. That's incredible. Honor is more powerful than we give it credit. Hallelujah. God doesn't give us a pass. We have to stand for truth and live with honor. Pastor John Bevere said this, quote, "To retain honor, we must stay humble in spirit," end quote. The moment you think you're better than is the moment God can't honor your attitude. Hudson's in the back and, you know, he does this when he's playing. All the kids do this, like, too small, right? You shoot over somebody, boom, you hit it. Too small, right? That's the thing. That's what they do. But how many times spiritually do we look at people and say, too small, too small? That's not a heart after God. That's not a heart honoring people made in their image. They're probably acting like the devil, but they're still made in the image of God. Honor them. Stand for righteousness. Stand for truth. Speak with love. Never sacrifice God's word, but honor people. We've got to stay humble, stand for truth, and be a person of honor that honors others. Church, if we want revival, then we must build a house of honor. Biblically, here's a definition of revival. Quote, "A reawakening and restoration of spiritual life and passion, characterized by a sovereign move of God's Spirit that leads to widespread repentance, a renewed love for God, and a more fervent life of worship and evangelism," end quote. Now, what does revival involve? It revolves a deeper conviction of sin, a greater awareness of God's holiness, and a return to righteous living as Christ followers. You know, revival doesn't begin with singing. Revival begins with honor. It's when we recognize in our hearts the presence of God, and we allow God's Spirit to move on us and on one another. Remember, Jesus couldn't do many miracles in his hometown. Pastor Mark, 2 weeks ago, he preached, part of his sermon was on that. Jesus couldn't do many miracles in his hometown because of dishonor. It wasn't that Jesus all of a sudden lost his power. He wasn't all of a sudden, you know, no longer 100% God and 100% man. He was just, here's what happened. Dishonor blocked the flow of his power. Here at First Open Bible, if you've been here for any length of time, we have to be careful that we don't dishonor the move of God. How do you dishonor the move of God? You make it common and you make it normal. Oh, it's just another day at First Open Bible. We got a tongue interpretation, people getting set free, delivered, and healed. Hallelujah. We worship God. We heard a great word that transformed my life, transformed my heart. I went out and I was different today. Well, that's just a normal Sunday. No, we should be in awe of the presence of God and the power of his word. We honor God by saying, God, this is supernatural and this is amazing. I stand in awe of you, God, that you would love us enough, that you would change my life. You would change everything. We corporately come together and we feel you tangibly. Wow, I'm not going to make that common because that dishonors you. I'm going to honor you because that's incredible. That's incredible. Where there's honor, God's power flows freely. Revival is when God's people turn to doing things God's way, and God's way is honor. If we want to see sustained revival in our homes, our churches, and in our cities, we must build a culture of honor, because revival lives where honor abides. You may have heard this saying before. Maybe you haven't. Culture eats vision for lunch. I can cast vision all day long. I can preach all day long. But if we don't change the culture, it'll fall on deaf hearts and deaf ears. If we create a different culture in the house, then God can move in that culture and we can cast vision. And it says in Habakkuk, people can, you make it plain and people can run with it. But you can't run with, I can preach all day that I want to. I can cast vision about honor. But if we don't have a culture of honor, it does absolutely nothing. That's for somebody's house in here today. If you have a house of dishonor and you want things to change, you haven't created a culture of honor. You keep trying to cast vision. You keep trying to go to this place and that place and this counselor and that counselor and this podcast and that. And you keep trying to feed things. Well, you haven't changed the culture. You haven't changed the atmosphere. There's nowhere for that to grow. You can plant seeds all day long, but it's hard ground. You must make it fertile by changing the culture. Hallelujah. Where am I? Okay, here we go. Found it. Pew. If you want to experience revival, then we should also honor repentance. Revival does not begin with singing and shouting and heightened emotions. Revival begins with conviction, hunger, and repentance. In an environment where, whether it's a home, a marriage, a church, a relationship, whatever it is, where honor is low, repentance stops. But where honor is high, repentance flows. Repentance is not saying, I'm sorry you got hurt. I'm sorry you feel so bad. Repentance, true repentance says, I was wrong. Please forgive me for how I hurt you. I need to do better. But it also says that not just with one another, but with God. Repentance is also recognizing who God is and turning back to live in such a way that reflects his holiness and his love to him and to others. You know, I find amazing is how people who do this these wrong things in life, they go to God in repentance, but they never say a word to that person that they actually hurt. They repent in prayers, but not in relationships. And believers, we have a really hard time with this. We think everything's okay because I'm right with God, but God doesn't just come. He didn't come just to reconcile us back to our Father. He did come for that. That's number one reason, but he also came back to reconcile us to one another. Just because you're right with God, maybe you need to make that relationship right. Just because you confess those things and God has built you up and you're moving past those things, maybe it's time that you go and you build that bridge. You ask for forgiveness. Or maybe you need to say something that's happened to you. And if they don't forgive you or not, but at least you made that attempt. The Bible says to live at peace with all people as much as it is up to you. You can go build a bridge, but until they build a bridge back, you can't have that relationship. But you are called to try to build that bridge. I'm going to live as in my life as much as it is to live at peace with all people, as much as it is up to me. And there's a difference between peacemaker and peacekeeper. A lot of people are peacekeepers. You don't want to rattle anything. You don't want to shake the boat. You don't want to confront. You don't want to talk about the hard things. That is not godly. You're a chicken. You need to ask God for his strength. Now there's those people that love to confront. I just love confrontation. You're a mean chicken. You got razor blades. I'm so glad that you've been here long enough. You can go into this with me for a moment and travel on this cuckoo crazy train. Let's go, baby. So it's just fun. Sometimes fun. It's scary in there, but it's fun. So he's still working things out. Amen. But we're called to be peacemakers, to confront with love, to face. Jesus was a peacemaker. He confronted our sin. He confronted our lifestyle. He confronted our mindsets with love, and he changed us forever. We have to be peacemakers. So when you go and you confront with love, bring up that situation. Some of y'all are feeling convicted right now. You know you are supposed to be talking to that person about that thing, but it's too scary, and you're afraid that they're not going to be your friend anymore. Guess what? You're not a peacekeeper. You're a peacemaker. Go in love. Don't go before you pray. Don't go in anger. If you go into a conversation because you want to win, you're going to lose. If you go into a conversation, this is just free. You know, we do this in premarriage counseling. But if you go into this with, but it's for everybody. If you go into a confrontation because you want to see resolution, then you can start speaking. If your mindset is already that you're going to lose and you're trying to prove a point, don't say a word. Keep your mouth shut, as Proverbs says, and stay out of trouble. But if you go into that, you need to confront some things so you can move forward. Build the bridge. Be a peacemaker. Amen? In a culture of honor, repentance flows easily to one another. And why is that? Because humility is present, pride has been crucified, and people, they greatly matter. What happens when we create a culture of dishonor in the house of God? People stop confessing. They stop being transparent, and they start hiding in shame. Even spiritual leaders or other leaders or people that we look to, they can feel they can't be honest because they've made transparency. We've made transparency shocking instead of sacred. Transparency, church, confession, and repentance, they thrive in a culture of honor. Repentance honors God because it exalts his holiness, it magnifies his mercy, it validates the cross, submits to his lordship, and displays his transforming power. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other that you may be healed. So I want to ask you, when's the last time someone repented to you? Or when is the last time you repented to someone else? Not guilty words, but a heartfelt repentance. Repentance is characterized by taking on responsibility. If there's anything in this world that they are terrible at, it's this: responsibility. I blame the man, I blame the system, I blame the government, I blame my friends and my family, I blame. You never take responsibility for your own actions and your own attitudes and your own things that you do. Right? They might have contributed, but no one made you do those things. You did those things. Take responsibility. If you want to see the church be different than the world, it'd be a church full of people who are responsible for what they've done, what they've said, and where they've gone. They'll be responsible. You will honor the Lord and your responsibility. You know what? Like last night I had to do it. You know what? My attitude is bad. I was wrong in how I treated someone. Please forgive me. I had to take responsibility for that. I could just push past it and pretend nothing happened. You know those awkward times when you're at home and you know everybody's mad at everybody, ain't nobody talking about nothing. And you're like, man, today, I just can't wait for today to be over, right? I just want to start the next day. But you know what? I'm going to say this next part. A mature believer in Christ doesn't wait for others to fix things. They go first. Why do they do that? Because they understand honor heals and people matter. Church, you can't have revival without repentance, and you can't have repentance without honor. Honor and forgiveness, that invites heaven. Ezekiel 18:30-32 says this. God is talking to his people, and he tells his people, you need to repent and turn from your sins. You need to find yourself a new heart and a new spirit. If you don't, you will die. You should die. Instead, he tells them, turn back and live. Where there is no repentance, things die. But where there is repentance and where there is honor, that is where there is restoration and there is life. How many Christians are living unrestored because of dishonor and pride? I want to give you some good news. A repentant person will receive the mercy from God. We will receive mercy from God. Godly mercy, what does that do? It opens doors. It brings opportunities, favor, promotion, and blessings. And mercy flows through honor. When honor goes up, his blessings come down. God uses people who are full of repentance, and he uses people who extend forgiveness. Now listen to this. This is hard, okay? You ready for something hard? We already had something hard. Okay, you want ready for something else? No, nobody is. Okay. Jesus' name. Amen. You can go home now. Amen. No, here's something hard. Luke 17, 3 through 4. It says, so watch yourself. That's my translation. So watch yourself. Okay. It sounds better doing that, right? You ever do that? So watch yourself. No. So watch yourself. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. And if there is repentance, forgive. Verse 4. Even if, this is so hard, even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you, say the word, must forgive. Revival is not merely just prayed in, it also is protected by a culture of honor. When we honor God and we ask for forgiveness and we forgive and love others, heaven responds. Okay, as I get close to closing, I want us to take a moment and let's focus on Jesus. Let's focus on Jesus. Jesus restored us because of his love. And Jesus restored us because of his honor for us. Jesus gave our life value because he gave his life and his death. And because we repent of our sins, God extends his mercy and he gives us new life. Right? We're not a church that believes that you repent once and you're good. Repentance is a process and it should happen, honestly, daily. So guess what? God extends us mercy, so now it's our turn to extend mercy that we've received. We must honor others as Christ has honored us. This morning, we're going to take a few sacred moments, and we're going to do what I call a dishonor detox. We're going to honor the power of repentance. Brent and Alicia, please come. So when you came in, you got one of these things, 3x5 card. Did anybody else get PTSD that there was going to be a test tomorrow and you had to study for it? I got to memorize something. Everybody, you got these? They weren't a gift, like they were for church today, so weird gift. But yeah, we need some tithe and offerings because this is all we can give to a gift, so enjoy. But on this card, I'm going to invite you, so listen to me. I'm going to invite you in what we're going to do next. I want to invite you to write a name, a relationship, a group, or even a situation where you've allowed dishonor and unforgiveness to take root in your life. Maybe it's someone who's been an authority. Maybe it's a family member or a friend or even a spiritual leader. Maybe it's a coworker. Or a former boss, or someone who has wounded you. Maybe it's yourself. Whoever it is, let's lay down dishonor so we can pick honor back up. Because honor brings life, honor sustains revival, and a godly life flows out of repentance. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come forward, and you're going to bring that card to the altar. You can come with a prayerful heart. As you lay it before King Jesus, I want you to release it to him. We're going to have prayer, a prayer group on each side here if you need additional prayers. Because remember, if we pray for one another, he's righteous, he's faithful, he's loving to forgive us of our sins and heal us. But many of us, we're going to be able to lay this down and give it to God and be healed and set free. As you let go, I want you to ask Jesus to fill you again with his mercy, his forgiveness, and his honor. Because Jesus is the healer of hearts. He's the restorer of honor, and he is the reviver of souls. I want this altar to become a place where dishonor dies and revival begins. Why? Because revival starts in our hearts. I want to read this verse, and I'm going to ask you to stand. Acts 3:19 says this. Actually, you just stay seated. Repent then and turn to God so your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, we repent of every moment of dishonor in word, in thought, and in attitude, and even in deed. Create in us a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within us. Make us a people of honor, people who add value and not take it away. Let this house be known for humility, transparency, and restoration. Let honor flow again from heaven to earth and from heart to heart. Let your revival come to this church through a culture of honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So take the next few moments, write something on there, give it to Jesus, lay it at the altar. Prayer teams, if you can come to the sides, that'd be great. Additional prayers. We love you. Be set free today. He loves you. Let's honor King Jesus and each other.